friends, we're going to continue our series in the book of Proverbs this afternoon. And as I say that, I'm just realising I haven't got the clicker, so if someone could bring that up for me in a moment, that would be great. But this afternoon, we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 5. So I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to that passage now. We're also going to have the words up on the screen. Thank you, Phil. So Proverbs chapter 5, and we're going to read the whole chapter. And the editors of the NIV have given it the title, Warning Against Adultery. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honour to others and your dignity to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord. He examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. Amen. My friends, when fire is in the fireplace, then it really is a wonderful thing. It gives warmth and light. It can be used for cooking and for drying clothes, and it even provides us with a pleasant atmosphere. But when that fire strays outside of the fireplace, igniting the carpet and the curtains, burning down your house, threatening life and limb, well, then it becomes something terrible. For then it brings damage and ruin, pain and misery. Maybe even death. Fire is fantastic and valuable when it's kept within its proper boundaries. But outside of those boundaries, it becomes dreadful and destructive. And so, my friends, fire is a lot like sex and intimacy. Within its proper boundaries, an intimate, sensual relationship is a wonderful and a beautiful thing. But when it strays outside of those boundaries, it becomes something terrible, damaging and hurtful, miserable, abusive, even deadly. And my friends, that is actually the message of Proverbs chapter 5. Last week we saw how this book contains both shorter sayings and longer discourses. And here in this chapter we have one of those longer sections on a single topic, the topic of sexual intimacy. We also saw how this book is designed to help us to be wise, to make good decisions in life, not aiming to be successful or fulfilled so much as to be righteous and godly. And thus we saw how Proverbs commends what the law commands. And so, as we think about this particular topic tonight, we could in fact go back to the seventh commandment, couldn't we? Where God says, "You shall not commit adultery." But what we find here in Proverbs chapter 5 is that the author takes this command and he admires it and he extols it and he commends it to us in the most vivid and compelling terms. And I trust, as we read that passage just a moment ago, that you could sense the evocative way that it shows just why we should strive to be wise, to be careful and honourable and godly when it comes to the matter of sex and of intimacy. But before we get to the details of the passage, I want to address what I think is a very obvious and important question. And that is, why does this passage focus so strongly on men? Why are men so clearly the subject of the wise advice, while women are mentioned only as the object of the choices that men make? Well, there's three things that I'd like to say about that tonight. First of all, we need to remember that this book was written primarily by King Solomon, and primarily to his son or his sons. The first words of our chapter are, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight." Then in verse 7 it says, "Now then, my sons," plural, "listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say." And verse 20, "Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife?" Well, the opening verses of this whole book make it clear that its wisdom is for everyone. Sometimes that wisdom comes to us in the format of a father speaking to his son. And Proverbs chapter 5 is one example of this. Now, second, we need to remember that this book was originally written into a society where men, and especially men in leadership, had all the power in matters like sex. We see that in the story of Solomon's own parents, David and Bathsheba. And so it makes sense, doesn't it, that a chapter like this addresses males and their responsibilities. And thirdly, we need to remember that this book was written for real life. And in real life, we know that the temptation to fall into sexual sin applies not exclusively, but yet a lot more commonly to men. But my friends, even in saying that, statistics show that this difference is actually diminishing, and that women today are actually far more likely to struggle with things like adultery and pornography than they did in the past. And so what all that means is that while this passage does indeed focus very strongly on men, and especially married men, its principles actually apply to all of us. These truths apply to both men and women, both married and single. And that's how we're going to approach it tonight. So as we consider the actual message of this chapter, our first point is that wisdom recognises that sexual sin is attractive. The passage opens with the author calling his son to listen to his wise words for the sake of righteousness. But then in verse 3, you'll see in your Bible that it says, "For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil." We're not told who this adulterous woman is. Is she simply someone else's wife? Or is she a particularly loose woman? Or maybe even a prostitute? We don't know. But that helps us, doesn't it, not to be too narrow in our own application. Maybe she's a woman in your workplace, or in your neighbourhood, or in your friendship group, maybe even in your church. Maybe she doesn't even know that she's the subject of your affection because you look at her lustfully, as Jesus described in Matthew chapter 5, committing adultery with her in your heart. Maybe she's not even a woman you know, but one who you see, be it in those magazines or TV programs or movies. Or is she in cyberspace, on social media, in those risque videos, or in that behemoth of blatant and readily available internet pornography that's now the biggest issue of all? My friends, did you know that 35% of all internet traffic today is pornographic? And did you know that 80% of young men in Australia admit to watching it weekly? Or is she not a woman at all? Because for you, the issue is an adulterous man. Is he someone you know? That dreamy guy next door or at the gym or in that chat room? Is he in the pages of your romance novel or on the episodes of your favourite show? Or is he waiting for you on that website? My friends, the point is that we're attracted for a reason. For her lips drip honey and her speech is smooth like oil. This person's kisses are sweet and their words are flattering. This person does not repulse us, but quite the opposite. For there is something fascinating about them. Their looks are appealing. Their personality alluring. They make us feel special. They seem so uninhibited. My friend, sexual sin is attractive. It's tempting and it's captivating. And little wonder, for God has created us as sexual beings. He has given us a desire for intimacy. And in the right context, it is a glorious blessing. But the adulterous woman or the adulterous man falls outside of God's ordained boundaries. And so even though it looks so good, the reality is very different. And that brings us to our second point, which is that wisdom recognises that sexual sin has serious consequences. Because my friends, when you dabble in promiscuity, be it premarital or extramarital, when you give your affections and your intimacy to one who is not your spouse, when you slide into that bottomless pit of porn, committing adultery in your body or in your heart, then quite frankly, you are playing with fire. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says this, "Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished." And here in chapter 5, having just pointed out the sweetness of her lips and the smoothness of her speech, verses 4 to 6 say this, "But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it." The law of adultery is a bit like a tasty piece of cheese on a mouse trap or a juicy bit of meat on a fish hook. It looks so good, so alluring and tempting, but it's a deceptive snare. For the sweet taste of their lips soon turns to bitterness. The safety of their embrace turns out to be dangerous. Their enticing promise of a better life ultimately leads to death. Verses 9 to 14 tells us more. It says, "If you fall into this trap, then you'll lose your honour to others and your dignity to the one who is cruel." In other words, you'll lose your reputation. People will look down on you for your deceit and your infidelity. It also says strangers will feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. These sins will cost you financially, be it by money wasted and squandered, by manipulation, deception and blackmail, by court cases, divorce settlements, and child support. And it speaks also about deep, deep regrets. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, "How I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. It seemed so good at the time, but in the end it brings only misery and strife." Finally, in verses 20 to 23, the ultimate consequences are revealed. For it says, "Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline they will die, led astray by their own great folly." You see, my friends, sexual sins have natural consequences, don't they? They cause guilt, jealousy, and insecurity. They bring a loss of trust and dignity. They lead to things like depression and STDs and unwanted pregnancies. And they end up in broken marriages, broken families, broken hearts, and broken people. And maybe you're thinking that you can avoid all that. Maybe you think that you can keep your secret between you and that consenting adult, between you and that screen, between you and your own thoughts, and no one will get hurt. Well, here the myth is exploded. For it says, "Your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths." What a stark and confronting reminder that is. There are no secrets from God. There's no getting away with it. No avoiding the consequences. These sins ensnare us and hold us fast. And in the end, for lack of discipline, it says they will die, led astray by their own great folly. But what are these fatal consequences spoken of here, but also in verse 5? Is it figurative for the fact that sexual sins can ruin your life? Well, that could be part of it. Does it mean that sexual sins could actually kill you through disease or violent retribution? Well, that could be part of it too. But at the end of the day, the consequences of sexual sins are not only natural, but they are divine. For they're an abomination to the God who made us, the God who sees everything, the God who commanded, "You shall not commit adultery," to the God who says no one who touches her will go unpunished. And so that means that these sins can seriously spoil our relationship with the Lord. They can make us feel distant from him, tarnishing our joy in his blessings, dulling our experience of his love, even doubting our own salvation. Whether it's adultery in heart or in deed, promiscuity or pornography, it will always deaden our hearts toward God. But if a person is so enslaved that they don't even care about God's will, that they don't even confess or repent, that they don't even try anymore to change their ways, well, then they will face the ultimate divine consequence of eternal death. As we're reminded in Proverbs 22, the mouth of an adulterous woman is a deep pit. A man who is under the Lord's wrath falls into it. So friends, we've seen that sexual sin is very tempting and very attractive, but it also has gravely serious consequences. But that then leads us to our third and final point, which is that wisdom recognizes that sexual sin can be overcome. We're going to consider this three ways. First of all, look at with me at verse 8. which provides wise advice for all of us, no matter who we are. It says, keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Here the father tells his son, plain and simple, if you're serious about this, then wise up and stay away. Don't put yourself in her reach. But we can be so unwise, can't we? We convince ourselves that we're the one exception, that we can toy with temptation and win, that we can play with fire and not get burnt. But how wrong we are, for we're like a moth to a flame, and we need to stay away. Maybe there is someone who you have been getting too close to, thinking about too much, sharing with too intimately. Well, for goodness sake, don't be a fool. Cut off the relationship. Stop meeting up. Don't go to her office. Don't go near his house. Don't respond to the texts. Or maybe you're young and unmarried, but you're on the lookout, or dating, or even engaged. How will you keep your relationship pure? Well, the author would say, don't get into unwise situations. Don't let the intimacy go past what it should. Don't spend time behind closed doors. Or maybe your struggles are not physical, but they're in your mind and your heart. Do you need to stop reading those books? Do you need to throw out the TV set? Do you need to disconnect from the internet? Or perhaps for you, the answer is accountability. For in this day and age, it's just so, so easy to commit adultery of the heart without anyone knowing. And so your temptation may be so strong that you need another Christian to talk to pray with, to keep you on track and to check in on how you're going, to hold you to account. If that's what's needed to stay away from her door, then make it happen, my friends. But secondly, we want to look at verses 15 to 19, where the author provides some further advice on overcoming sexual sin. And this time it is directed to those who are married. Let me read those verses again. It says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Here the author uses some very euphemistic language, but also some very non-euphemistic language to get his point across. And his point is this: when you face sexual temptation, then remember your own wonderful wife. He says, remember that sex is not bad or dirty or embarrassing. It's a gift from the Lord to be treasured and enjoyed, but enjoyed within the boundaries that the Lord himself has given. The boundary of a faithful marriage between a man and a woman. For then, like fire in the fireplace, it is something delightful and valuable. But the author also says, remember that your own wife is precious. He says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. He says, she's exquisite like a graceful deer. He says, be intoxicated with her love. My brothers who are here tonight, sometimes we need to be reminded, don't we? She may not be as physically attractive as she once was, but don't judge too harshly before you take a good look in the mirror. She may not be as excited about you as you think she should be, but don't forget, she's been living with you for years, warts and all. She may not be as energetic as you imagine those other women to be, but maybe that's because she works so hard in a job, looking after your kids, caring for your home and your needs. But here we're reminded to look at our own wives through fresh eyes, to recognise that she is actually the most beautiful woman in the world. And that's because she's the most beautiful woman in your world. And that's because she is the precious, sensitive, loyal, forgiving, and long-suffering wife whom the Lord has given to you. Remember the reasons you first fell for her. Remember all the things that you've been through together. And once again, rejoice in her and be intoxicated by her love. And the ladies, the very same thing can be said for your husband. If you're tempted to stray, he may not be as handsome or romantic as he once was, but he is the one whom the Lord has given to you. And you can learn to rekindle that love and reignite that passion that you once had. But that then brings us to our third and final piece of advice for overcoming sexual sin. In this chapter, we've all been urged to stay away from her door, working hard to avoid temptation. And those who are married have been urged to direct our affections back to our own wonderful spouse. But yet we know how hard this can be and how easily we can fail. And so we also need to remember the truth that lies behind this and every chapter in the book of Proverbs. And my friends, that is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord reminds us that sexual sin is serious, but the fear of the Lord also reminds us that it can be forgiven. For our Lord is full of grace, and our Lord is full of mercy, and he sent his own precious Son Jesus to live that perfect, pure and faithful life that we never could. And he sent Jesus to die that painful, sacrificial death that takes our sin away. And so if you have fallen to the temptation of adultery, if you have not kept yourself sexually pure, if you have given your affections to someone who is not your spouse, or if you've succumbed to the lure of pornography, then I urge you to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. Come in repentance, and he will wash you clean. Whoever you are, female or male, single or married, Jesus can restore you once again. But more than that, Jesus can also give us strength. Strength to overcome. For in him we are a new creation. And we can learn to keep God's commands in a way we never could before. For he gives us his Holy Spirit to empower us. And in his strength we can increasingly fight the temptations in our life and live the holy life that we've been saved for. So as we conclude, I invite you to consider this afternoon how Proverbs chapter 5 applies in your life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're someone who is actually totally enslaved by sexual sin. The fire is out of control and it is deadly. If that's you, then I want to urge you tonight to turn back to Jesus and to receive the cleansing and the new start that only he can provide. Be wise, my friend. Seek the Lord and find a better way. But maybe that's not you. Maybe you do have a relationship with Jesus, but yet you are desperately struggling to live a pure life in body and in mind. And as a result, you feel that the Lord is distant from you. You're racked with guilt and you have no joy. Well, then I urge you tonight to ask the Lord to do a mighty and a miraculous work in your heart. Ask him to empower you to resist those temptations, to take that decisive action, to rekindle healthy relationships. And if you need help with that, then I want to urge you tonight to talk to someone. Talk to me. Talk to Reuben. Talk to one of the elders in this church. Talk to a good, close Christian friend. Or maybe you're someone who, by the grace of God, has been saved from these struggles. Well, then I urge you to praise the Lord for that, but also to ask for his protection, for you do not know when temptation will strike. But I urge you also to be compassionate towards those who struggle, for it's far more common than you may think. My friends, let us learn in this church to be a support and a help to each other, that we all might learn together the lesson of wise intimacy. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that your word is so real and so true to life. Father, even though it was written thousands of years ago, as we consider these words, it's as though they were written yesterday in our context to us today. Father in heaven, we know just how serious sexual sin is in this world, how incredibly widespread adultery is, promiscuity is, and far more so than even that, pornography in this world. Lord, it is a blight on our society and our culture. Lord, it is a terrible thing that causes so much pain, so much abuse, so much sin in your eyes. And Lord, we recognize that just because we are your people, we're not immune from these things. And so we pray, have mercy on us, Lord. Lord, you know our hearts. You know exactly what's going on in our lives. And so, Father, we pray that you would come near to us and that you would help us not to feel guilt, but to seek your grace. Lord, to learn from this passage, to learn to be wise, to learn to approach these things as you would want us to. Father, help us to keep far from the door of sexual temptation. Lord, help us, if we are married, to rekindle our love for our spouse. And Lord, whoever we are, help us to remember that in Jesus we can find forgiveness, full and free, but more than that, that we can find the strength to fight the temptations in our life, to put to death these things, and instead to clothe ourselves with righteousness and purity. Lord, we pray that you might work in each of our situations, as different as they may be. And Lord, we pray that at the end of the day, we would all be striving to be wise. To be wise because we want to be righteous and godly in your sight. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.